Chapter 16, The Nature of the Gopis Mahabhav. No one can taste Krishna's beauty as the gopis do. What is the reason? Only in Braj, where Krishna's Rupa Madhuri, Lila Madhuri, Venu Madhuri, Prem Madhuri are all present, is he overpowered by the prem of his associates. Of the many devotees there, none overpower him as the gopis do, and amongst them, Srimati Radhika overpowers him the most. Concerning this point, Sanatana Goswami has written a special philosophical conclusion to his commentary on this verse. As he said before, Sri Krishna, the source of all incarnations, performs unlimited pastimes in unlimited dharmas. But the pinnacle of his madhuri flows in Braj and nowhere else. Because the anurag of the residents there is forever increasing. As he said before, Krishna, the source of all incarnations, performs unlimited pastimes in unlimited dharmas. But the pinnacle of his madhuri flows in Braj and nowhere else. Because the anurag of the residents there is forever increasing, the entirety of his sweetness is exhibited there. Krishna is madhurya, sweet. But if the gopis were not there, his sweetness would not reach its highest point. No other devotees can experience yavada shraya vritti, which is a special characteristics of the gopis mahabhav. To the degree that there is love for something, it can be tasted, and if there is no love, it cannot really be tasted. The meaning of yavada shraya vritti is that the gopis prem reaches as far as and even further than anyone could possibly describe. If you stretch a rubber band, it will snap at a certain point. But their prem, and only theirs, increases unlimitedly. Therefore they alone fully relish the rasa of Krishna's four types of madhuri. The tendency to relish the unsurpassed beauty of Krishna's form is yavada shraya vritti, another name for which is mahabhav. Krishna is rasaraj, and the gopis are mahabhav, and when they meet, the gopis relish he who is the very embodiment of rasa. But the dynamic nature of this meeting is that sometimes Krishna becomes yavada shraya vritti, and the gopis become rasaraj. This is not possible for anyone else but the gopis. Being overpowered by their prem, Krishna begins serving and attending them. Suppose there is a young boy who is lame, ugly, and unable to speak properly. It is doubtful that others will be very affectionate towards him. But his mother will always love him. Why? Because she possesses anurag, spontaneous love for him. And although that is simply a reflection of the genuine sentiment, anurag is the root cause of love. Because the gopi's anurag for Krishna expands unlimitedly, it is called yavada shraya vritti. Upon receiving Krishna's darshan, the gopi's prem multiplies millions of times. This is the vritti, tendency of their anurag. But this occurs only when they see the unsurpassed madhurya of Krishna's form. It does not happen when they see anyone else, including Uddhava, who looks so much like Krishna. The ladies of Mathura lamented that although they were seeing Krishna directly, they did not possess the quality of prem for him, by which they could see his form of unsurpassed beauty as the gopis always did. A person eats something with great pleasure when they are hungry. And if someone isn't hungry, they may pinch a bit of the preparation off with their nails, examine it, find fault with it, and not desire to eat it. But if one is hungry, he will consider any preparation to be tasteful, even if it is stale. Then what to speak of that preparation, which is unlimitedly sweet? In this way, the gopis' hunger for Krishna is such that as they taste Krishna's madhurya, their mahabhav increases so much that it knows no upper limit. Even though there is no space for it to increase any further, still it increases. In the upper stages of mahabhav, known as madan and modan, it perpetually increases and feels ever new and fresh. In our present condition, we cannot estimate even a fraction of that. But when our faith in Guru, Vaishnava and Bhagavan is sufficiently developed, then, as we become free from the influence of our anattas, nishta will come. Even if we possess some shraddha and nishta in partial form, still our ruchi must become deep. For now, our minds may remain steady, but someday bhav will come to us, and precisely when it will come is not in our hands. It is solely in the hands of Bhagavan and those devotees who possess that bhav, and only when they bestow their mercy will it come to us. At that time, even the experience of mahabhav will come to a deserving soul automatically, even though he may not have previously known anything of that tendency. It may seem that there is no hope of it ever coming, and no space whatsoever for it in our hearts, but still it will come automatically. Then, by its wonderful influence, one will easily cross over whatever seemingly insurmountable obstacles which may exist in this world. The ladies of Mathura speak of Madhurya Krishna, who had come to Mathura from Braj. Why didn't he bring his flute with him to Mathura? Because if he were to play the flute in Mathura, no lady would leave her home and family in the dead of night to come to him. There was no qualified recipient for the flute song in Mathura. The ladies there saw his beautiful form, but would they ever leave their husbands to go to him? Would it happen in Dwarka? All would be afraid of transgressing their dharma and being disgraced in society. Because mahabhav and yavadashraya vritti do not exist there, no one would come. In this regard, Sanatan Goswami says in his commentary that a devotee will perform kirtan and hear harikatha of his worshipable deity, but direct experience of him will only come in the dham. A devotee may meditate on Krishna, become absorbed in remembrance of him, and gain some attachment for the bhav of Braj, but direct experience of Krishna can only come in Vrindavan, whether it is Gokul or Golok. In other places, meditation and remembrance are possible, but direct experience of him is available only in Vrindavan. Therefore, Krishna's eternal associates in Dwarka and Mathura may also be able to estimate the madhurya of Krishna in Braj to a certain degree, but could they ever achieve direct experience of it? Would they ever be able to abandon everything to come to Krishna in the dead of night? No, and nor would Krishna ever enter a royal assembly hall in Dwarka in his Braj attire. Mahabhav is unlimitedly variegated. Ordinarily, it is said that Mahabhav is of two varieties, Rudha and Adirudha, and thousands of variations of each of them are possible, some in meeting and some in separation. But all varieties of Mahabhav are embodied in Srimati Radhika, or they are manifest in her expansions as the Sakis. She is the Swayam Rup of Mahabhav, as Krishna is the Swayam Rup and source of the Tad Ekatma, Swamsaka, Vilas, Avesh, Prabhav, Prakash, Vaibhav Prakash, and Guna expansions. The Guna avatars are Brahma, Vishnu, and Shankar, and the Avesh avatars include Prithu, Narad, Vyas, Kapila, and Parashuram. They all possess specific natures or empowerments. Then when Krishna expands into forms which are fully Satchidananda and Sarva Shaktiman, it is called Tad Ekatma Rupa. as all these personalities expand from him and perpetually exist within him. Radha embodies all of the 360 varieties of heroines. Due to this, she always attracts Krishna's mind. If Krishna desires a specific bhav, and in one gopi it is found to be insufficient, he can attain it by associating with another gopi. But none of them can completely mystify and enchant him as only Radhika can. Because unlimited feelings and desires arise within Krishna, as the best lover and the hero of all women, he is sometimes Dhirodatta, grave and gentle, sometimes Dhirashanta, peaceful and forbearing, sometimes Dhiralalita, carefree and jovial, and sometimes Dhirodatta, proud and restless. He is all of these at the same time, and when there is the necessity for only one of these moods, he manifests that specific one. In the same way, Srimati Radhika manifests whatever mood is necessary, sometimes becoming Dhira, grave, sometimes Manani, pouting, and sometimes Dakshina, clever. As the crown jewel and very embodiment of the 360 varieties of heroines, she relishes the sweetness of Krishna to the utmost, because she can manifest all the qualities of all the varieties of heroines. She is known as Madanakya Bhavati. While meeting with Krishna, she experiences Madan, and in separation from him, she experiences Mohan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed something of these elevated states of hers to the world, and besides him, there has never been anyone in this world who could exhibit these things. However, when he was exhibiting these states, Rai Ramananda and Swarup Damodar, due to being his intimate associates, could also relish something of them. Besides them, no one else could comprehend these sentiments. But later, Mahaprabhu invested the Shakti to understand them directly into the heart of Rupa Goswami, saying, "He will manifest my bhav in this world throughout his writings." As Radhika experiences unlimited pastimes, the 20 varieties of ecstatic symptoms, beginning with Kila Kinchita, arise in her simultaneously. She herself cannot comprehend all of these sentiments, and the appropriate sentiment is always manifest in her at the correct time for Krishna's pleasure. Because of this, she is eternally the beloved of Krishna in his Swayam Rup. He never appears to her in any Kaya Vyuhar expansion, or simply by Spurti, arising by her meditation, but is always with her in his original form in both meeting and separation. Once Radhika was seated somewhere in Braj, meditating on Krishna more and more until she suddenly became completely overwhelmed. Then from behind, someone placed their hands over her eyes. She called out, "Lalita," but the hands were not removed. Only when she called out the name of the person covering her eyes would the hands be removed. Vishaka, Chitra, Kundalata. She called out the names of all her sakis, but still the hands were not removed. When she said Shyamasundara, then he removed his hands and joyfully sat beside her. Sanatana Goswami comments on this leela that Radhika thought that Krishna appeared by Spurti in her meditation, or that because at that time he was present in Mathura or Dwarka in his original form, he must have come there by assuming a Kaya Vyuhar expansion. But he concludes that Krishna must have appeared there in his Swayam Rup, because otherwise Radhika would not be fully satisfied. This is the wonderful conception of Sanatana Goswami. If Mahaprabhu is in Puri, but in Navadvip Mother Sachi is crying while making an offering to him, would she be satisfied if he were to appear there in a mere Kaya Vyuhar expansion? Knowing that she would only be satisfied if he came in his original form, he does just that. and it is the same with Srimati Radhika. In his original form, Krishna always remains by the side of Radhika and is never able to be separated from her. Sanatana Goswami says that because the Braja Devis possess the paramount Mahabhav, Yavedashraya Vritti, how could Krishna ever leave them? Even while residing in a foreign land, he visits them in Vrindavan, in his original form. He visits only them, and not others, not even the Sakas. Sitting alone with Radha in Braj, Krishna says, "My dearest Srimati Radhika, in the distant land of Dwarka, I have married many ladies, but in reality I don't love any of them as I love you. I searched the entire universe for one Kishori whose beauty, complexion and nature was like yours. I found Satyabhama, but I remain with her only because she reminds me of you. And similarly, I have married 16,000 queens, because each of them reminds me of the gopis. If somehow that remembrance of you were to be lost, I would leave them all at once. We say that when we are apart, you feel as if you are dying, but I am constantly meditating on how to save your life, and for this purpose I worship Narayan. By his mercy and mystical potency, I am able to come to Vrindavan every day to enjoy your company. You consider my appearance to be in your meditation or in a Kaya Vyuha form, but I come to Vrindavan in my original form. My great good fortune is the immense love that you have for me. Unknown to anyone in Dwarka and in Vrindavan, I come here to you, and hopefully very soon I will also be visible to everyone else here." In the verse we are discussing are the words Amusya Rupam, meaning that very form. The ladies of Mathura are saying, "We are seeing Krishna, but why are we not feeling the highest prema? What austerities did the gopis perform to be able to see with the eyes of Mahabhav, the original form of Krishna, adorned with a peacock feather in his crown and the very essence of all loveliness? Unable to see that form of Krishna which the gopis see, and unable to experience the Mahabhav of the gopis, they wanted to know which austerities they could perform to become similarly fortunate. Not everyone will be able to feel such elevated bhav. When our Gurudev, Sri Srimad Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Goswami Maharaj, would dance, he would move in an exceptionally sweet and lovely way, with his eyes turned upwards and holding his sannyasi danda in his hand, he would dance immersed in bhav. I have never seen such dancing as his in all my life. Whenever he would hear Krishna's pastimes, he would become emotional and begin weeping. And if we perform bhajan sincerely with resolute determination, we may also one day experience some of this bhav. We desire these feelings, as do the ladies of Mathura who lamented, "Higher, higher, we are seeing Krishna directly, yet we cannot experience the bhav of the gopis. Our lives are useless." Sanatana Goswami says that only in Braj can the sweet form of Krishna as the essence of loveliness and the emporium of rasa be seen, and only in Braj can such a sweet bhav be experienced. Outside Braj, Krishna's original form cannot be seen directly, and this bhav cannot be directly relished. In other places, one may possibly see Krishna by meditation or in one of his expansions, but direct experience of him is not possible. Next comes the verse, "Ya dohane vahanane matan opalepa, prene kena rabha ruditokshana majanado, gayanti kayenam anurakta diyo shruno kanteyo. Danya Vrajasriya Urukrama Chita Yanaha." Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.15 and Brihat Bhagavatam Rita 2.7.136. The gopis are extremely fortunate because their hearts are always so absorbed in Sri Krishna that while milking cows, churning yogurt, applying chandan and other decorations to their bodies, comforting crying babies, washing their floors and performing all other household duties, tears of love flow from their eyes as they continuously sing about his purifying fame. Generally, when a Kanishta Adhikari goes to visit a Mahabhagavat Vaishnava, he first thinks he is a Kanishta Adhikari just like me. At first, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya ridiculed Rai Ramananda, thinking that he spoke too highly about women. Sarvabhauma considered the gopis to be ordinary women. He only respected the gyan of the four Kumaras, the Vairagya of Sukadev Goswami, and the Nirvishesh conception of Sankaracharya. Therefore, if one isn't of a higher type himself, he won't be able to understand the bhav of higher devotees. And only a great perfected personality who is a ragatmika, or a devotee who is in the final stage of raganuga sadhan, will understand the prema of the gopis. Even devotees such as Bhishma, who were contemporary with them, could not fully understand the exalted nature of their prema. Only those who were near them could understand something of it. For instance, Uddhav had to leave Dwarka and go to Braj to understand something about how exalted the gopis were. If he had remained in Dwarka, he would never have understood. This verse and the previous one were spoken by the ladies of Braj. And because Mathura is only 5 miles from Braj, sometimes the spiritual greed of the devotees of Braj would find its way to Mathura. Besides Uddhava, sometimes tradesmen and others would travel back and forth between Braj and Mathura, and in this way the residents of Mathura would be able to understand something of the bhav of Braj. But those who lived far away from Braj understood nothing of it. Even in separation from Krishna, the gopis were always meeting him. While looking after their children, milking the cows, churning yogurt, applying chandan and doing housework, they always received his direct darshan through singing about him. And therefore kirtan is the best devotional activity. Singing in unison in a soft morning raga, they saw Krishna with the eyes of bhav, even though not abandoning their duties. Similarly, a sadhak will observe all the rules and regulations of Vaidhi Bhakti, but internally his bhav should be of Raganuga Bhakti. Externally, he will appear to be the same, but internally his bhav will be different. The greed of Raganuga will take one to Braj, whereas Vaidhi Bhakti will only take one to Vaikuntha. Because the ladies of Mathura were in close proximity to Braj, and therefore the bhav of Braj, they are praying that they will also experience the bhav of the gopis. At the time of the Rasa Leela, Krishna and the gopis were singing together. In beautiful melodies saturated with rasa, the gopis defeated Krishna by singing, "Krishna Sadhu, Krishna Sadhu," in a note higher than Krishna could sing. As the ladies of Mathura contemplated pastimes such as this, which the gopis enjoyed with Krishna, they said, "Whereas we can only see Krishna here in a fighting mood, the gopis perpetually see him in his form as the crown jewel of Vidagdha. We have never received such good fortune." Vidagdha means witty and ingenious, but when applied to Krishna, it means he who is rasik chatura, supremely clever and skillful in relishing ras. These ladies of Mathura were not even as fortunate as the Pulinda girl, who often heard the vibration of Krishna's flute. Even the deer of Braj heard the melody of his flute, but the ladies of Mathura could only imagine it. All of our duties should be performed while singing Nam Sankirtan. Suppose there is a pitcher of water. If we simply add some lemon juice and some sugar, it immediately becomes nectar. Similarly, we must perform so many worldly duties. But if following in the bhav of our guru, we meditate on Bhagavan while carrying them out, they will all become nectar. In the conditioned state, we are always considering what is favorable and what is unfavorable to our bhakti. Because we are in the beginning stages, everything appears to be unfavorable to us. Therefore, our minds are disturbed. But to the degree which we progress in sadhan bhajan means to that degree the vision of what is unfavorable will diminish. And when one reaches the stage of bhav, he will perceive everything which he previously considered to be unfavorable as favorable. Actually, nothing in this world is unfavorable to us. It is only due to our present weaknesses and anarthas that we see our environment as unfavorable. Whatever obstacles we are currently facing are due to our own previous misdeeds and are not the fault of any other person. In this verse, the Rasik ladies of Mathura say, Urukram Chita Yana. The gopis' minds flow spontaneously towards Urukram Krishna. Urukram means a strong, continuous current, and because their minds spontaneously flow towards Krishna with great speed and force, they are fortunate, and thus Krishna comes to them directly while they are singing. So if while carrying out our household duties, our minds and hearts are absorbed in Krishna's Naam, Guna, Rupa and Leela, then very soon we will receive his direct darshan. Thus ends chapter 16 of Bhakti Rasayana.